This is the Turf Zone Podcast, your central information and news hub, bringing together professionals from turf associations across multiple states to share things to help you and your business. Brought to you in partnership with our friends at the Tennessee Turfgrass Association. This episode is sponsored in part by BuySod, world-class service on demand. Visit us online at www.buysod.com. Now, let's get in the zone.
Welcome to the Turf Zone. In this episode of Tennessee Turfgrass, we feature two articles from the researchers at the University of Tennessee. Our first article is from Tom Samples, PhD, and John Sorokin, PhD, of the Department of Plant Sciences. The article is titled, Bermuda Grasses, an Update. Bermuda grass, an aggressive sod-forming and warm-season turfgrass, most likely originated in Africa and South and Southeastern Asia. It is believed that this species was introduced into the U.S. in the mid-1700s from seed in hay used as bedding on ships sailing from Africa to America. Some turf-type Bermuda grasses in today's marketplace are non-seed-bearing hybrids of two species, common and African, and must be vegetatively established. Others are improved varieties of common Bermuda grass and are prolific seed producers, often referred to as seeded types. Plants spread by both above and below ground stems, referred to as stolons and rhizomes, respectively. Bermuda grass grows best in open areas receiving full sun, and although a limited number of varieties have improved shade tolerance, the species is generally not well adapted in moderately to heavily shaded areas. Leaves and stems become straw brown as plants enter dormancy each fall. A healthy, actively growing Bermuda grass turf is dense, uniform, resistant to weed invasion, and capable of quickly recovering from wear injury. Under ideal growing conditions and in nutrient-rich soils, newly planted sprigs of several varieties may grow at the rate of 3/4 inch or more per day. The species tolerates sandy to clayey soils. However, both hybrid and common Bermuda grasses grow poorly in infertile soils that remain wet for an extended period. Depending on management intensity level, the nitrogen fertility requirement of Bermuda grass usually ranges from 1/2 to 1.5 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square foot per growing month. Bermuda grass turfs are often routinely dethatched and are susceptible to several patch diseases, including pink snow mold, large patch, and spring dead spot. Common insect pests include armyworm, fall armyworm, and white grubs. Winter annual weeds such as annual bluegrass, common chickweed, henbit, and purple dead nettle may appear in Bermuda grass turfs during winter dormancy. Several perennial weeds with energy-rich below-ground bulbs or tubers such as yellow nutsedge, green and false green kalinga, wild garlic, and wild violet can become problematic as they compete with Bermuda grass plants for water, nutrients, light, and space. Identification. Both the upper and underside of leaves of Bermuda grass may be smooth or hairy. The midvein appears as a slight fold in the center of the leaf and runs parallel to the edges. The leaf tip is sharply pointed, and the ligule is a fringe of hairs. The collar is continuous, and hairs are visible on the collar region at the junction of the leaf blade and sheath. Plants have no auricles or small outgrowths from the base of the leaf blade at the collar. The seed head has from 3 to 6 or more spikes atop a flowering stem and resembles a bird's foot. Vegetative clonal types. The first recorded release of an improved turf-type Bermuda grass variety occurred in 1947 with the release of U3 by the United States Golf Association in cooperation with the United States Department of Agriculture. This variety was found growing in Savannah, Georgia in 1938. In 1956, the soft, low-growing, sterile hybrid variety Tiff Green was jointly released by the Georgia Agriculture Experiment Station and the USDA Agricultural Research Service Crops Research Division. Tiffway, another sterile hybrid variety selected and cooperatively tested by the USDA, the Georgia Coastal Plain Experiment Station, and the U.S. and Southern Golf Associations, was released for production to sod growers in 1960. The USDA and the University of Georgia Coastal Plain Experiment Station jointly released Tiff Dwarf, a dwarf mutant of Tiff Green, in 1965. It has a darker green color and shorter leaves, stems, and internodes than Tiff Green. Tiff Dwarf also establishes slower than Tiff Green when sprigged at the same planting rate. For many years, these three varieties with the prefix Tiff, two recommended for use on golf greens and intensely managed lawns, the other for golf course fairways, sports fields, and lawns, have served as standards to which new Bermuda grasses are compared. Vegetatively established varieties marketed throughout Tennessee vary in overall quality and in traits including leaf texture, color, stand density, vertical and lateral growth rate, water use rate, low temperature hardiness, and disease and insect resistance. Vegetative ultra dwarf clonal types. Ultra dwarf varieties such as Champion, Mini Verde, and Tiff Eagle have replaced both Tiff Green and Tiff Dwarf as varieties of choice for newly constructed or renovated greens in Tennessee. They generally have shorter internodes, higher shoot densities, better overall turf quality, and the ability to withstand lower cutting heights. Along with the improved overall putting surface of the ultra dwarf Bermuda grasses comes the need for a change in conventional Bermuda grass greens management practices. Research demonstrates that the ultra dwarf Bermuda grasses may be shallowly rooted and quickly produce excess thatch. Due to their very high aerial shoot densities, they may also prove challenging to top dress with sand meeting USGA specifications for putting green construction. Routine vertical mowing and applications of an appropriate wetting agent and plant growth regulator may be required. At times, two layers of winter protective blankets may be necessary to prevent severe low temperature injury and desiccation in winter. Seeded types. Historically, much of the Bermuda grass seed marketed in Tennessee is harvested and processed in Arizona and New Mexico, where two harvests may be possible annually. Common, also referred to as Arizona common Bermuda grass, continues to be planted to establish lawns, sports fields, utility turfs, and erosion-resistant ground covers throughout the South. However, common Bermuda grass is generally lighter in color, less dense, coarse textured, and has limited root mass and is more prone to low temperature and frost injury than many improved common types and vegetatively established hybrids. As a result, seed sales of the newer improved turf-type common Bermuda grasses continues to rise. The varieties Yukon and Riviera, released by Oklahoma State University in 2000 and 2001, respectively, have better quality, low temperature tolerance, rooting, and spring dead spot resistance than Arizona common. Other improved common Bermuda grasses marketed in Tennessee at this time include Gold Glove, Mirage 2, Monaco, North Shore SLT, New Mex Sahara, Pyramid 2, and Royal Bengal. Two or more varieties may be blended and sold in an effort to take advantage of the improved traits of each and provide buyers varieties that will establish and persist in several different microenvironments. Turfgrass breeders continue to develop and evaluate new Bermuda grasses. The National Turfgrass Evaluation Program, or NTEP, is designed to develop and coordinate uniform evaluation trials of turfgrass varieties and promising selections in the United States and Canada. Test results can be used by national companies and plant breeders to determine the broad picture of the adaptation of a cultivar. Results can also be used to determine if a cultivar is well adapted to a local area or level of turf maintenance. In addition to the sterile, vegetatively established Bermuda grasses, green industry professionals may recognize many of the seeded types entered in the 6 NTEP National Bermuda Grass Tests. 21 vegetatively established and 7 seeded varieties, including New Mex Sahara and Sinesta, were entered in the first National Bermuda Grass Test, or NBT, in 1986. There were 10 vegetatively established and 16 seeded entries, including Cheyenne, Jackpot, Mirage, Primavera, and Sun Devil in the 1992 NBT. Of the entries in the 1997 NBT, 18 were seeded types, including Blackjack, Blue Muta, Majestic, Princess, Pyramid, Riviera, Savannah, Shangri-La, Southern Star, Sun Devil 2, Sydney, and Transcontinental, and 10 were vegetatively established. 29 of the 42 entries in the 2002 NBT were seeded types, including Contessa, La Paloma, Mohawk, Panama, Southern Star, Sovereign, Sunbird, and Yukon. 26 of the 31 entries in the 2007 NBT were seeded types, including Gold Glove, Hollywood, Princess 77, Pyramid 2, Royal Bengal, Sunsport, and Veracruz. The most recent NBT planted in 2013 contained 13 vegetatively established and 29 seeded types, including Monaco and North Shore SLT. A number of entries designated by letter and or number in this test will most likely be marketed as named varieties in the future. For more information regarding the disease and insect resistance, cold tolerance, and overall performance of individual Bermuda grass varieties, please visit the NTEP website. Our next article comes from Jim Brosnan, Ph.D., Greg Breeden, and Jose Vargas of the University of Tennessee, and is titled, Weed Control Lessons Learned in 2018. Each year, the Turfgrass Weed Science Program at the University of Tennessee conducts hundreds of research trials in the field, greenhouse, and laboratory. Despite having an array of different objectives, all of these trials have a singular focus: to help turfgrass managers with weed management issues. This article outlines key lessons learned in our program last year that will hopefully be of use to turfgrass managers in the coming season. Lesson 1. Explore weather data. Mother Nature certainly threw turfgrass managers across Tennessee many curveballs in 2018. The year began with air temperatures measuring much higher than historical averages, leading to spring emergence of warm season turf grasses and weeds occurring earlier than normal. Air temperatures fell in April, measuring nearly 10 degrees cooler on average than April 2017. Warming in 2018, as measured by growing degree day accumulation, was higher than the previous two seasons, and this period of warming continued into the fall. Irregular weather patterns will not only affect the severity of weed infestations in warm and cool season turf grasses, but also the efficacy of several herbicide treatments as well. That said, University of Tennessee Extension is here to help. Should turf grass managers encounter oddities during the 2019 season, they're highly encouraged to contact the University of Tennessee for a breakdown of climatic conditions that may help explain the situation. Lesson 2. Know your POA. One of the biggest lessons learned last year is that POA and NUA populations across the state of Tennessee are very different from one another. Thanks to support from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, or GCSAA, and Tennessee GCSAA, our team is currently conducting a survey of POA and NUA across the state. Efforts have allowed us to study 72 different populations randomly selected during spring 2018, from golf courses in East, Middle, and West Tennessee that had either Bermuda grass or Zoysia grass as a primary turf grass species. Things we've learned studying these populations include: 1. POA and NUA from West Tennessee takes longer to germinate from seed than that found in Middle or East Tennessee. Moreover, populations from West Tennessee grow less vigorously from seed as well. 2. Over 64% of the POA and NUA collected in this survey has some level of resistance to glyphosate. 3. Over 58% of the POA and NUA collected in this survey has some level of resistance to prodiamine. While we are still continuing to study these populations, implications of this research to turfgrass managers across Tennessee are significant, particularly in regards to herbicide selection. The current recommendation from University of Tennessee Extension is to target POA and NUA infestations of warm season turf grass with a mixture of pre- and post-emergence herbicides in October. This approach is an optimal resistance management strategy in that it facilitates using multiple modes of action for control. Additionally, delaying treatment until October increases the likelihood of turf remaining devoid of POA and NUA throughout the spring compared to making a single application of a pre-emergence herbicide in late August or early September. Lesson 3. Soil moisture affects goosegrass control. Post-emergence goosegrass control is a challenge every season. In 2018, we learned that the growing environment in which goosegrass is commonly found can be a reason why herbicide applications often struggle. We evaluated several different herbicides for post-emergent goosegrass control in this greenhouse, including SpeedZone, Acclaim Extra, Tribute Total, Pilex, and Revolver. These treatments were applied to multi-tillered goosegrass maintained in soils varying in volumetric moisture content, or VMC, from less than 12% to greater than 20%. When applied at maximum labeled rates to plants growing in soils measuring less than 12% VMC, none of the herbicides tested controlled goosegrass greater than 25%. When soil moisture increased, goosegrass control increased dramatically as well. For example, Tribute Total only controlled goosegrass 20% when applied to plants growing in soil measuring less than 12% VMC, compared to 93% when applied to plants growing in soil measuring greater than 20% VMC. To that end, we're recommending that turfgrass managers measure soil moisture content before making post-emergent herbicides for goosegrass control in 2019. Use of a moisture meter can aid in determining if adequate soil moisture is present prior to treatment. It is important to remember that goosegrass needs time to acclimate to changes in soil moisture. Simply applying irrigation prior to herbicide treatment likely will not improve efficacy. Lesson 4. Perennial weeds of high soil moisture continue to be an issue. Another takeaway from last year was that perennial weeds that prefer moist soils continue to be problematic. Weeds such as Kalinga, yellow nutsedge, purple nutsedge, Virginia buttonweed, and doveweed continue to infest warm and cool season turf grasses across Tennessee and beyond. As a result, many of the newest herbicides entering the turfgrass marketplace have been developed with these weeds in mind, including but not limited to Athon, Celero, Dismiss NXT, Game On, Relzar, Switchblade, and Sure Power. Regardless of product, controlling these perennial weeds will likely require sequential applications in addition to improving the growing environment to favor turfgrass growth in lieu of weeds. Lesson 5. Programmatic thinking works. For the past several years, our team has encouraged turfgrass managers to implement weed control programs at their facilities, similar to what is done when managing turfgrass diseases. What is a weed control program? It is simply a well-thought-out strategy to maintain turfgrass as weed-free as possible from January through December. Weed control programs can incorporate different herbicide applications, along with timely cultural practices to deliver an integrated approach to weed control. This proactive strategy is very different from the reactionary approach many take to controlling turfgrass weeds, such as seeing an infestation and spraying the most readily available herbicide. The 2018 season served as yet another reminder that weed control programs work very well and that there are many different ways to customize a program for a given facility. The proactive process of developing a weed control program offers key advantages, including: weeds are exposed to different herbicidal modes of action, either in rotation or mixtures with one another. Doing so will therefore reduce selection pressure for resistant biotypes. Programs allow turfgrass managers to always improve their effectiveness in controlling weeds. The best turfgrass managers in our industry take notes throughout the season about weed management strategies that were or were not effective and can build programs based on this information. This process is very different than simply approaching the problem the way it's always been done, or making choices about weed management based on what herbicide is the most discounted in an early order program. Programs can be tailored to a specific location. For example, on golf courses, different programs can be implemented on different holes to account for variations in growing environment. In lawn care, programs can be designed to be property specific, which makes a great deal of sense considering that no two lawns are the same. For more information on turfgrass weed control, visit the University of Tennessee's Turfgrass Weed Science website, tnturfgrassweeds.org. Additionally, practitioners are encouraged to visit mobileweedmanual.com, a tool developed by University of Tennessee Extension professionals to assist green industry professionals in selecting herbicides for use in turf and ornamentals. Check out our show notes for all photos, figures, website links, and graphs associated with these articles. And don't miss an episode of Tennessee Turfgrass on the Turf Zone. Subscribe wherever podcasts are found and visit us at theturfzone.com.
This episode is also sponsored in part by Winrock Grass Farm. Now featuring Ezoy, the most beautiful and environmentally correct lawn grass you can buy. Visit us at www.winrockgrassfarm.com to learn more. You've been listening to The Turf Zone. Thank you to our sponsors, including BuySod, world-class service on demand. Visit us online at www.buysod.com. For more episodes of The Turf Zone, visit theturfzone.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app.